Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
In Florida, a woman escapes her captor after months of torture. The investigation involving Sean Diddy Combs leads rival Suge Knight to issue a warning. And the biggest First Amendment Supreme Court case of our lifetime is happening right now, and Mike gives you his thoughts. These stories and more coming at you today, Friday, April 5th, on Real Life, Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. The weekend is upon us, yes, boys.
Yes, it is. Basketball.
Well, right. There's lots of basketball, but you know what there also is?
What?
$1.23 billion, as Dr. Evil would say, in the Powerball lotto drawing for Saturday. $1.23 billion.
Yeah, it's worth a couple of dollars
don't
for me
play
to think
that.
About what I would do just if I won it. I did that last time I got up to a billion. I was like, yeah, can I have a ranch so big that I have to have helicopters fly across it or private jets and yachts and then apartments in New York for, you know, the wife and friends or whatever and whatever.
I mean, well, I want you to know.
You just go on and on and on.
If I win it, I plan on continuing to do the show. I'll give you guys like $5,000 a piece, yeah. But you know, there's no way that you know $1.2 billion is going to get me to
see if you ever walk see me again.
I was a little disappointed. I have not yet heard from Kim Mulkey. I was expecting after the last show and talking about her new green outfit that she wore for the last game that she would reach out.
That's because she doesn't like you. She and I have her own speed dial. She's
not
one of my favorites.
She may not like me. She didn't like the dirty debutantes thing either, but it's growing on me. I think that could be a cool thing that they could use. But, you know, the ratings came out for that game.
Huge, huh?
12.3 million people watched that game.
It's almost as many as we get a show.
That made it. Not only the most watched women's basketball game in history, it made it the most watched basketball game on ESPN in their history.
Wow.
So all the NBA games ESPN has carried over all the years, they've never had 12.3 million for a game. So that the drawing power of that, you know, everything that went into that rivalry, obviously, Caitlin Clark is a huge draw. Be interesting to see if, you know, they play tomorrow night against UConn. The other semifinal game is South Carolina against NC State. South Carolina will be a heavy favorite there. An Iowa-South Carolina final could do even better potentially than the 12.3, just because there are a lot of people jumping on this bandwagon late hearing about her. But, you know, this could be a really major inflection point in, you know, women's basketball, women's sports, hitting this kind of an audience level for an event. And obviously with somebody who's going to be around for the next 10, 15, 20 years in women's sport. And, it should be interesting to see.
We shall see. And it's actually tonight. You said tomorrow night, but this is Friday.
You're right.
With that, let's get down to some true crime time for Friday.
We're going to start out in Florida. And a Florida man with a history of violence was arrested on Tuesday after a woman he kidnapped and brutally tortured for months found an opportunity to escape from his minivan. The victim had been panhandling in Tampa since January, and she met 48-year-old Walter Medina around that time. Medina gave the woman food and narcotics, but soon his actions turned violent, subjecting the woman to months of relentless physical abuse and captivity. Investigators said that Medina had held the woman against her will for 2.5 months.
Wow.
Medina used a wooden baseball bat and a flathead screwdriver to inflict broken ribs, deep puncture wounds, and extensive bruising. The suspect is also accused of driving the victim around the Tampa Bay area and threatening to kill her if she ran out and sought help. The woman finally found her opening to escape her captor on Monday when he briefly left her unattended at a Walgreens. Deputies responded to a mobile gas station after a witness reported an injured woman just escaped from a van and needed help. Deputies found the victim with numerous injuries to her face and body, and she was taken to a local hospital for medical treatment. On Tuesday, Medina led deputies, police, and troopers on a high-speed chase in his gold Town and Country Ford van. Seems strange to call that a high-speed chase, but yeah. I guess some vans can get up there. Medina hit speeds of over 100 miles per hour and weaved through traffic in his attempt to escape capture. He eventually struck a raised median, which disabled his vehicle. When he refused to comply with troopers' orders to surrender, they deployed a canine to help apprehend him. Medina was charged with attempted second-degree murder, armed kidnapping, and numerous other charges. He had previously served time in prison for an earlier false imprisonment case, and he does have a history of arrest, including kidnapping, aggravated assault on law enforcement, and robbery.
Exactly. And I'm glad she escaped. I'm glad she's alive and still with us. And I thought you were going to say something about Funky Cold in that story. Funky Cold Medina.
Yeah. I thought the same thing. Tone Loke style.
Anyway.
But what a horrible exit. So basically, she was in that minivan for 2.5
months.
Well,
I'm sure he had her in his residence or wherever
to
find all that out. But, you know, I bet you it's not the first. Well, his criminal history shows he's done it before. They shouldn't do plea bargains.
No, she was. She was a panhandler, the victim.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he picked her up and kept her. Right? Yep. Three hots and a cot, a lot worse than that.
Yeah.
Hitting her with a bat. Nice.
Dumbass.
Screwdriver.
Yeah.
You know, things have been really quiet in Pinellas County.
Have we hadn't heard anything from there?
I peek.
Been like a couple weeks.
I don't know, something going on down there. They've got things under control. The seniors are behaving well on the drag strip down there.
Yeah, I bought a timeshare.
Well, bad guys of Pinellas County, come on, step it up. It's it's that time of the year. We need to start getting some stories out of there.
Hey, I want to tell y'all a little bit of a crazy story. And I actually worked a homicide on the interstate in Bro Bridge, and I found video surveillance of the vehicle of an 18-wheeler that actually did it, and we were never able to identify it for various amount of reasons. But I'm going to take you back to Bro Bridge. And if y'all know where that's at, that's the crawfish capital of the world. That's where the crawfish festival is every year. And it's just east of Lafayette, off of I-10 or in St. Martinville. Okay, let's go to St. Martinville, Louisiana. Bro Bridge Police Chief Albert Buzz LeBlanc was hospitalized after accidentally shooting himself in the leg this morning. He sustained the injury during his annual qualification at the St. Martin Parish Firing Range in St. Martinville. So what happens, like even here in Livingston Parish, all the smaller towns, they don't have their own firing range, so they use the sheriff's office training facility. So that's what
Shooting yourself hurts your chances of qualifying, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, he's the chief of police. I
would think that's an automatic fail.
But according to the St. Martin Parish Sheriff's Office, the injury was sustained at 9:30 a.m. and LeBlanc was treated and released from the hospital. So there's a lot of things on the post course. There's different stations, and you can score as high as a 120, but there is one station that's 2-yard line where you draw and you step back without looking and fire from the hip, and you do that 3 times, and I would guess that has to be where he shot himself in the leg. You know, you step back. I mean, if you're not cognizant, you can easily shoot yourself in the foot. I've actually known that this has happened before, but it's kind of strange. The chief of police got some explaining to do.
Well, you know he's going to get ribbed for the rest of his life.
What's his name?
Buzz LeBlanc.
Buzz, I think we're going to start calling him Plaxico.
Albert LeBlanc. Buzz LeBlanc. It's just interesting. But, you know, y'all, that any cop that you look at, they go through, when they have that firearm on, they have to be post-certified in the state of Louisiana, and they have to do the post-qualification course at least once a year. We were on the SWAT. We did a SWAT team. We did it four times a year. Still as a danger, even if you're just qualifying.
Yeah.
And maybe he needs to qualify again.
He's definitely not passed that.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Anyway, Buzz, sorry to rip on you, buddy, but I hope he'll well.
Yeah, sounds like he's going to be okay.
Yeah, that guy's going to be needled for the rest of his career. It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Folks in Louisiana are probably familiar with this case because a lot of this actually started with the former attorney general, now governor here.
Jeff Landry.
Mr. Landry. Mm-hmm. So this is a landmark First Amendment case that the Supreme Court has taken up. The case is called Murthy versus Missouri, but if you went past the Missouri part, you'd have Louisiana included in there and a bunch of individuals as well. So the case involves claims by the states of Missouri and Louisiana, along with a specific group of social media users, which includes people like Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, who is a well-known epidemiologist at Stanford, a brilliant guy. The federal government officials compelled social media companies like Twitter, Facebook, and Snapchat to remove certain pieces of content and refuse to post other content from certain accounts, because the government essentially did not like the viewpoints expressed in that content or by that content. The federal government officials contended that the content in question was misinformation or disinformation related to healthcare issues, specifically COVID, and a number of other topics, and they thought it should be removed. So the case asks this critical question: did government coerce social media entities to remove posts? So is the federal government responsible for coercing censorship across these social media platforms? The case concerns whether the actions of the various federal government officials in the Biden administration specifically and federal agencies impacted the decisions of private social media entities. Can those actions be considered, quote, state actions? In other words, did these social media companies, because of alleged coercion by the federal government, engage in action violating the constitutional rights of individuals contributing content like Dr. Bhattacharya? The U.S. Supreme Court will hear The U.S. Supreme Court heard oral arguments in the case the week of March 18th and is expected to rule on the case by the end of June. The case has been appealed to the High Court from a decision by the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, which is here in Louisiana, I believe, in the Missouri versus Biden case. The 5th Circuit found in that case that the White House, the Surgeon General, the CDC, and the FBI all engaged in state action that violated the First Amendment by encouraging and coercing social media companies to engage in censorship. The 5th Circuit determined that the federal officials indeed did violate the First Amendment. For example, the appeals court determined that the White House, acting in concert with the Surgeon General's office, coerced the platforms to make their content moderation decisions by way of intimidating messages and threats of adverse consequences. And secondly, that they significantly encouraged the platform's decisions by commandeering their decision-making processes, both in violation of the First Amendment. So many free speech groups have filed amicus briefs before the U.S. Supreme Court, contending that the government has engaged in these First Amendment violations. One of those groups is Rutherford Institute, which said the facts of this case are positively Orwellian. Government officials, under the purported guise of attempting to prevent the spread of misinformation and disinformation, have coerced social media platforms into removing or deplatforming what the government considers to be undesirable. The reason you're hearing about this from your friendly neighborhood Aglet and not your favorite local news channel is that there's been a deliberate media blackout surrounding this case. The blackout in the media is primarily due to the economic interests of legacy media and their desire to suppress competition. They don't want a lot of individual podcasts like ours and many, many others as larger competitors. Trust in the media within the United States is at an all-time low level. In fact, there was a Gallup poll released last week that showed only 59% of Democrats, 29% of independents, and 11% of Republicans trust that the media is telling them the truth. Throw all that together, and it's like only 40% of people believe what's being told to them by the media. Some of you are aware I produce another series that significantly focuses on the demise of objective truth in journalism. I promise you that if your source of news is NBC, Fox, CNN, ABC, the AP, or any other mainstream news source, you are not being told the truth, and it is entirely intentional. The outcome of this case will have far-reaching implications for speech rights in the digital age, so please stay tuned, and we shall see what happens. I got witty speechless. Witty speechless. Look, it's a big deal. You may have seen a couple of days ago that and J.K. Rowling's been all over the press for this, that Scotland, the country that brought us Braveheart and Sean Connery, that they put into law a hate crime provision that makes it a crime to use anything that is quote unquote considered hate speech. Like, so say somebody wants you to address them by certain pronouns and you refuse to do it. That could be grounds for a hate crime and you being arrested. Now, Rowling has come out very strongly against this and dared police in Scotland to arrest her when she arrives back there, which I don't know when she's going back there. But it's, to me, of all the countries, that Scotland's kind of one of the last places I would have expected something like that. Mm-hmm. But you know, UK does not have a First Amendment. They don't have a freedom of speech, and they don't. So this is that being taken to a completely different level. But you know, you talk about just a foundational piece of the Constitution and what we stand for in America, the freedom of speech and the liberty to speak your mind and share different opinions. If that were changed significantly, I mean, it would be a major, major departure for this country. So keep an eye on that case.
There you have it.
There you have it. Well, speaking of freedom of speech, let's talk about Suge.
Suge Knight.
Suge Knight.
Never been afraid to speak.
Diddy. Diddy's in trouble. Diddy's in trouble. Diddy done it. And it just keeps getting worse for the New York record producer of Bad Boy Records. The music executive, Suge Knight, who was producer and owner of Death Row Records in California, has warned his longtime hip-hop rival, P. Diddy, that his life's in danger after federal agents raided this singer's Florida and California homes. We brought you that story a couple of episodes ago. The clip that he said this in was an outtake from the Death Row Records Founders podcast. Now, he's in prison, but he has a podcast, and it's actually a decent podcast. I've listened to a couple of episodes. It's called Collect Call, which he hosts from a California state prison where he's serving a 28-year sentence for voluntary manslaughter. Knight kicked off the clip praying for Diddy's kids as he blasted the singer, who is 54, for giving the culture of hip-hop a bad image.
Yeah, like
he I mean, right? You ever heard the pot calling the kettle black?
Yeah, he started a bad image.
So he says, I'll tell you what, Puffy, your life's in danger because you know the secrets. Who's involved in that little secret room you guys are participating in? Knight 58 said in the audio clip. He then ominously warned Diddy that they gonna get you if they can. Knight went on to encourage Diddy to turn himself over to authorities, just as Knight did following a hit and run in 2015 that resulted in the death of Terry Carter. I turned myself in, Knight said. Sometimes you gotta face the music. That's most of the time.
Right.
So a warning from Big Daddy Suge.
But Diddy still has not been charged with anything.
Not yet, but he will be.
Right. So he's advocating that he turn himself in and admit to crimes before he's charged with any kind.
I don't know. I turn himself in for interrogation.
You know, they never. He's not known for his legal acumen, Suge Knight, but yeah. Or his. You know, I mean, he's smart in some ways. He definitely built a business off a threat mainly, but. That's his warning to him, and Diddy's time will come. Diddy's done and many, many bad and things.
Just got a huge boost in his podcast listens because, you know, the search engine.
Yeah.
He just did whatever P. Diddy.
Yeah, that's
did
right.
Did he return?
Great point.
Is Diddy still out of the country, or did he return? I haven't seen anything.
I haven't seen anything on him coming back yet.
He's still on his boat going from place to place.
I don't think if I'm him, I'm returning anytime soon.
They did hear the song Sailing playing on his boat while he was.
Well, he's a big Christopher Cross fan, as you can imagine.
Sailing. Yeah, I remember that. That's funny.
There are some songs that become hits that you know the first time you hear them are going to be songs you get made fun of for liking like 5 years later. You have to have that sense to realize that and not jump on the bandwagon. So, Crisscross Sailing, you couldn't do that back in the day.
Funky Comedina.
Okay, this story absolutely shocked me because it happened in Texas, which I would have thought would have been one of the last places this could happen. But a mother of five in Texas recently found herself in hot water after learning that she could go to jail over library books that her county claims she never returned.
I got this story from Leah Marie, but go ahead.
Kaylee Morgan took out books about Vincent van Gogh from Navasota Public Library in Grimes County, Texas, back in March of last year. She told multiple news outlets that she actually did return the books that she borrowed, but that one was too big to fit in the returns box. Court documents show that the combined value of the two books was $60. Okay, so she made a stupid mistake, suck it up, and pay the $60 for the books, right? Nope. Instead, Morgan was slapped with a bill for $569.50, which included late fees that piled up as well as court fees. She was also charged with a city ordinance violation. Quote, warrant is active for your arrest, an alarming document read. Act now to avoid going to jail. But Morgan was unaware that the months-old documents existed until recently. She said the issues began when she went to renew her driver's license last week. So I go into the DMV and they tell me that I cannot renew my license because I have a warrant out for my arrest. And I laugh out loud, she said in a Facebook post. And I'm shocked because I haven't been pulled over. I haven't gotten any tickets. It just doesn't make any sense. I mostly stay home. I homeschool my kids. So what this woman was saying just didn't compute. Morgan then called the local court to see what the trouble was, and that's when she was told that she had two past due library books. The stressed-out mother then scheduled an appointment with the judge. Quote, it's so silly, so silly. I have a warrant out for my arrest for past due library books. Okay, this is not fake. This is not made up, she said. During her meeting with the county judge, Morgan explained that she homeschools her five children, that she had a difficult pregnancy around the time the books were due. I'm explaining to the judge that we returned the book, she said. There was one that was too big to fit into the return box, into the slot, and when we did return it, the system was down, but I definitely returned it. She told the judge that at worst, the books were 2 weeks late and reiterated that she was pregnant with complications and had been put on bed rest. The judge's response was apparently less than sympathetic. She told me she didn't want to hear my excuses, that I needed to take responsibility. She said what I had done by not returning the library books is the same as stealing from Walmart. So Morgan now has a record for stealing government property. The judge added that the warrant still stands and that Morgan will not be allowed to renew her driver's license until she pays the $569.50 ticket, a hefty sum for a single income family of five. The judge said, make no mistake that if you're driving in Grimes County with or without your kids and you get pulled over, we will arrest you. Morgan says she was technically not served a warrant because she was completely unaware of its existence. The judge said they issued a warrant and somebody signed for it. And I told him it wasn't me. I didn't sign for it. I would know if I had signed a warrant because I would not be driving. I don't want to go to jail. I asked the judge who signed it, and she said it doesn't matter. Fortunately, Morgan has raised over $1,300 on a GoFundMe, which has helped pay off some of the fines. She plans to hire a lawyer and get the whole mess removed from her record. She says she's received a lot of support over the situation and hasn't heard back from the authorities since she began publicizing the situation. So maybe they're just going to forget about it. Hopefully. The response from the community is mostly overwhelmingly positive. There are a few who don't understand that I did return the books and others, a small group who think I'm doing some kind of smear campaign.
And so. She is a mother of five, including a three-month-old, and the fine is $570, and only her husband works. Really, I find
she homeschools
funny that the funny in the story, not funny, but which really sticks out because she said it a couple times in her statements, was that this whole process is really affecting her breastfeeding. Now she has to buy a breast pump in case she gets to jail so she can pump milk out in case she's not there to breastfeed.
Right. Yeah.
Like, come on, man.
Where is Grimes County?
Yeah, that's they're taking it way too far.
It just doesn't – the story doesn't feel
very
Texas.
I mean, you could buy the books for
less than the fine. She's – I just Trump buy famous book. Off this and you know the GoFundMe and all that bullshit. I'm sure I would book somewhere. Grimes County is close to College Station. It's look in southeastern Texas, about 30,000 in the county. And anyway, that's fucking ridiculous.
You're right. She'll probably end up in a better economic situation because people are coming to her age.
She's become certified. Breast pump companies are going to sponsor and what have you.
Breast
what it's called, right? Best breast pumps.
Yeah, they're I don't see a lot of sponsorship from those companies, but
well, they might.
They might get her one.
We'll see.
Get two.
Gerber.
Get two. It'd be time efficient.
Yeah.
Why pump one when you pump two?
But Judge, I mean, Texas, come on. You're better than that.
I agree.
Well, let's go to a pretty crazy story from Easter. And on Easter, the manager of a Walgreens store suffered a Bible belting, if you will, because she was being rude. This is according to a customer who is now facing a felony battery charge. Police say Peter Owens went to the pharmacy Sunday evening, Easter, to purchase a pair of headphones. While at the Clearwater, Florida business, Owens got into a verbal altercation with an employee over headphones. When Nicole Merck, the 36-year-old store manager, approached Owen and asked him to leave the Walgreens, Peter used a brown Bible in his hand and struck Nicole in the face one time as he exited the store. So
there you go.
He used to be you'd strike him with Bible a glove. Thumper. He struck her with a Bible. Bible thumper.
For sure, that's not what that
Bible can't be originally. A weapon though. You can't accuse the Bible of being.
Well, they did.
The Bible I got sitting on my beside my chair to knock you out.
Knock you out cold, huh? The big family Bibles from the 1800s.
Yeah, this wasn't even that big. Still knock you out cold.
After the Bible battery, cops located Owens and took him into custody. After being read his rights, he admitted to striking Mark in the face one time with that Bible. He said she was being rude to him and he did not mean to hit her. The criminal charge against Owen was enhanced to a felony count since he has a 2020 conviction in Michigan for assault and battery. So this ain't the first time he's struck someone, right? Owens was released from the county jail last night after posting a $5,000 bond, and the judge ordered him to have no contact with Merck. But worse than that, he's got to stay away from the Walgreens.
There you go.
How are you supposed to get your scripts filled?
Got to go. That's it. So I don't know how you didn't intend to hit her in the head with the Bible. He's like, that wasn't my intention.
Oops. Yeah. Well, according to his Facebook page, he works as a golf instructor, and he is a graduate of Wayne State University, and he lives in Ellington, which is a Gulf Coast city near Sarasota.
All of which is in Pinellas County.
Is it really?
Yes. So we do have a Pinellas County
there
story.
There you go.
There you have it.
That
Bible belting in Pinellas County.
Explains some things.
Bible thumping.
And he brought his golf swing to Walgreens with the old...
There they have it.
Well, he won't be allowed back.
The good book, as they say.
Save big on brunch for mom. All in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yep, he got... Pop good.
Well, you guys know that there's this big eclipse that's happening.
I heard about it, but it's going to be kind of cloudy here, so not supposed to be able to see it.
What?
Yeah, when it was supposed to be raining and shit when it happens here.
I just read some big story about how great it was going to be.
Read it at 4:00 this morning.
Burst in my balloon. Well,
I tell you, let me save you. Some drama. I watched one like 20 years ago and I got the things and all that shit, and it's really not that spectacular.
There's a group of inmates up in New York State that say it's their religious right to be able to watch the eclipse.
Bullshit. Look, I used to have to deal with
Ramadan. I'm not even 10 words into the story or what he's calling bullshit on it. Six inmates at a New York prison are so eager to catch Monday's solar eclipse that they're suing their lockup, claiming the rare spectacle is a, quote, religious event that they should be allowed to see. The prisoners at Woodbourne Correctional argue the phenomenon in which the moon will pass between the sun and the earth, immersing part of the state in darkness in the middle of the afternoon, should, quote, warrant gathering, celebration, worship, and prayer, their federal lawsuit states. The men include a Baptist, a Muslim, a Seventh-day Adventist, two practitioners of Santeria. I don't practice Santeria. What's that? And even one atheist, who all have expressed a sincerely held religious belief that this solar eclipse is a religious event and that they must witness and reflect on it to observe their faiths. But state correctional officials have planned a lockdown during the astronomical marvel in a move that would breach the inmates' constitutional rights to practice their religions, the suit alleges. The suit also notes that an eclipse-like phenomenon is described in the Bible during Jesus' crucifixion and that Islamic books of worship depict a similar event during the death of the prophet Muhammad's son. As people with different beliefs come together to observe the eclipse, an incredible phenomenon that holds religious significance for many, we simply ask that prison officials allow our clients their constitutional right to practice their faith, said Sharon Steinerman, a lawyer repping the prisoners pro bono. The lawyers filing the suit are seeking to make it a class action so that impacted inmates all across the country and other prisons can join the legal battle. So they want to let all the prisoners across all of the states, and this is going to be visible, I think, in about 15 states. That's prior to Woody's weather reports. So they're seeking a court order, which the clock is ticking. This is the last day to get that court order, forcing the State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision to allow inmates to witness the event. Everything to know about the 24 solar eclipse. The eclipse will take place on Monday, blocking the sun for over 180 million people on its path. It will be visible from 15 states. New Yorkers will experience the eclipse just after 2 p.m. A huge explosion on the sun known as a coronal mass ejection is anticipated, according to experts. That sounds freaky. This happens when massive particles from the sun are hurled out into space. Remember, to avoid serious injury to the eyes, it is necessary to view the event through proper eyewear. State officials declared last month that they would have a system-wide lockdown during the eclipse and that visitors would be prohibited from visiting inmates at the prison during the eclipse. But these guys obviously are trying to change that. For our friends in Louisiana and Texas, they're saying anywhere from 80 to 98% of the sun will be blocked out. Weatherman Woody is telling us
100% of the sun.
Maybe that's not going to matter because it's going to be cloudy.
Well, it'll still be dark.
Even
with the clouds, that sun's going to
give you the same experience. Just go outside right now and close your eyes.
There you go.
Hold your thumb over the sun. Yeah. Hey, this is such fucking bullshit. These things piss me off because, I was part of it. I've seen the lawsuits for, the Rastafarians want to smoke weed because that's my religious right, or the Indians want to take peyote or whatever the fuck they want to get.
They're allowed to smoke.
Yeah. Well,
the Native American people.
I don't know about it in the state of Louisiana or wherever.
Well, the only reason I know that is because Sammy the Bull became a Native American because he said he could smoke in prison. Yeah, well, but wherever he was in prison,
their victims. Where do they get to file, especially if they're murderers or rapists, whatever? Where do the victims get to file to see the fucking solar eclipse?
Yeah.
Fuck you.
That's a great point. That's right.
Wow. I didn't have you pegged as an eclipse hater, Woody.
I'm a prisoner.
Wow. Okay.
Prisoner hater.
Way to fall out of boys to me.
And we've got a pretty special Mile High crime for today, and it is as legitimate a Mile High crime as you can get, because it is actually a Mile High club crime. But this one involves some people we may all be familiar with. If you're a E.T. fan, you've heard of Drew Barrymore.
That's true.
I have.
Well, she's revealed she is a fan of Sex in the Skies.
Really?
Did you know that? Yes.
Mile High Club.
Doesn't it feel wild? It's not the same, she told Christina Aguilera as the two bonded over both being members of the Mile High Club. Mm-hmm. While chatting on her talk show, she said, if you're curious, like why people are doing it, I'm telling you, elevation. It feels different. I can't recommend it more. Really? Sorry, FAA. She absolutely said that. And so Aguilera responded back that she totally agrees and that those who engage in sex on a passenger plane could face potential arrest, but she wasn't worried about it.
There you go. And she wasn't worried about it because she wasn't on a commercial plane. She was on some private jet drinking champagne and banging away. That's a much different Mile High Club than the go to the back of row 38 into a 20 square foot bathroom and get down there.
Yeah, yeah. She said that, you have to be careful. We spend a lot of times on planes, but we definitely have to figure it out when her and her man are flying. So if you're on a plane with Drew Barrymore and she goes to the bathroom with, I guess it's her husband. I guess she's married.
Yeah.
Let him you
may not get to use the bathroom.
Get a shot. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pull out your cell phone.
I had that thing that said occupy.
Occupado. So there you go. That's your mile high crime. A little admitting from some A-class stars, I guess you'd say.
There you have it.
No, not definitely not A-list.
No? Drew Barrymore? Really?
No. She comes from a family of...
Christina Aguilera?
No.
You wouldn't call her A-list?
No.
He's still stuck on...
He still says the Beatles are. No. Paul McCartney.
That song from earlier.
The Southern Cross or a song.
Yeah, Chris Cross.
Who did Southern Cross? That wasn't Chris Cross.
Yeah. So my ice sing along to that too.
When I was Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Southern Cross.
That's it.
All right. Let's. Ooh, yeah. It's time for Kinky Crimes on Friday. I'm going to take you straight out to a state I went to this year. In Minnesota, a massage parlor owner locked a worker in a small room with no lights and monitored her every movement to pimp her out for sex with clients.
Oh.
Right? Ying He, 55, was arrested this week when an officer responded to a 911 call with a screaming female at massage therapy in Willmar, Minnesota. The officer found the caller sitting on the floor, crying loudly inside the business and communicated with her through a translation app on her phone. Interesting. The victim, who was not identified in the court documents, claimed that he had hit her in the head and she felt dizzy and had a headache concussion. She then told the officer he was not letting her drink water, cook food, and she was confined to a small room with no lights. The woman was taken to the hospital after she made these allegations. The victim later told police she had traveled from Southern Cal to Minnesota looking for work after she paid an L.A. agency $100 to find her a massage gig that did not involve sex. No happy ending.
Ooh.
She purchased a $630 ticket to get to the Gopher State and was promised he would reimburse it. He arranged an Uber to pick the victim up from the airport, and upon arriving at the massage therapy, the owner's true intentions were revealed. The massage parlor owner locked the victim inside the small room upon arrival and told her she needed to do whatever the customer wanted her to do. Now, the victim clarified that she was told to perform sexual acts on or for the customers. She referred to small job and big job. Small job meant assisting with hands and masturbating the customer, and big job meant having sexual intercourse with the customer.
Mm.
Right? So he then monitored her every movement, including when she was allowed to eat and bathe and was not allowed to leave the business. Kept her hostage, right? The victim told investigators that if she had fled from the massage parlor, he would have found her, and his boss in L.A. was a lawyer for the courts. Police returned to the business after she made all these allegations. And the owner denied hitting the woman or forcing her to live inside the massage parlor. But surveillance video observed by the officer showed a male customer walking from one massage room to another while he and the victim were in the hallway. Seconds later, he ran at the victim and stopped in front of her. The male customer then ran out to the hallway in his underwear as though he had heard something and then went back into the room, to which he followed him, being the owner. The owner then reappeared and walked back toward the victim and was seen punching her on the right side of the head. The victim could be seen getting out of her cell phone before falling to the ground. Police arrested and they searched the business, confiscated a number of items, including several phones and two sex toys. They also performed DNA swabs in the parlor's rooms. I guess they looking for that blue light special. The owner faces a whole bunch of fucking charges. Yeah.
DNA swabs in the room.
Yeah, you know they go in there.
And
maybe they have sex offenders in the CODIS database. Might get a hit on.
Yeah, it's true. But that blue light will show semen.
I really wouldn't want that DNA collecting job.
No, man.
And that's your kinky crimes for Friday from Massage Parlor.
Now, that was a dark kinky there. Yeah, I mean, basically, kinky. She was trafficked and had to pay for her own travel.
Yeah.
Being trafficked.
And big job, small job.
Big job, small job.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're going to go down under to find today's dummy. His name is Johnny Wallach, and he grew up in the outskirts of Sydney. As a kid, his parents took him to the Taronga Zoo every year. He looked forward to the zoo visit all year long. His favorite was the koala exhibit. Years later, Johnny was actually able to land a job at the Taronga Zoo when he was an adult. Unfortunately, Johnny's attachment to koalas grew to an unhealthy level. So in love with the koalas was Johnny that he decided to bring one home. But Johnny didn't have a car, so he jumped on a city bus with his new friend, the koala. The bus driver called the police on Johnny, and a cruiser soon followed the bus, waiting for Johnny to come off at his stop. When he and his cuddly friend were taken into custody. The koala was returned to the Taronga Zoo unharmed, and Johnny was last seen playing the banjo on the unemployment line. You can't take a koala from the zoo, you dummy.
Don't fuck with koalas.
Mate.
No, I like koalas.
Don't fuck with cats. You see that documentary?
No, I have not, but I've seen a lot of people comment on that.
I wonder if you can have a koala as a pet over there. Dude was
like torturing a cat and shit online, like killed it and stuff, and all the people got pissed off about it and did home sleuth, and they got him. They ended up, I mean, it was a bad day.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard
a few people.
Don't fuck koalas either, or will sleuth you.
It. Eucalyptus is expensive. I mean, I would think feeding a koala at home would get pricey.
Maybe he was getting some breast milk from that lady in Texas.
I doubt it, but possibly.
Because I'm pretty sure she's not going to jail and she's not going to need all that pump milk.
She is.
That's a market for that, selling breast milk.
There is.
Really? Like
pump milk? They have people that are doulas that actually make like food out of umbilical cords, like cookies and stuff like that. And they do the breast milk.
Wait. People are making cookies out of
Yeah. A lot of doulas do that.
And people buy.
Absolutely.
Guess what you get them for Christmas.
What flavors?
There's supposedly a lot of like good stuff.
Thin mints, dosidos.
Umbilical cords.
Maybe it's the umbilical cords stuff with all the nutrients.
You probably have a lot of female listeners on here that have done that.
Yeah.
Really?
Probably.
Okay.
Blows my mind.
We'll see.
Huh. Yeah.
But they absolutely do. I know that for a fact because I know someone that does it. Makes the cookies.
Okay. Study up on that.
You want to bring some cookies for Mike?
No.
That would be great. He wants some animal crackers.
Never eat a cookie from here again.
I am all good on the cookies.
Yes.
All right, watch that game tonight.
Good. Yeah, watch the game. And any final thoughts, Woody?
Love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Hope you have a great, great weekend. And that's it.
Watch the game. Buy the lottery ticket.
There you go. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Now go ahead.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.